oldest and strongest emotion of mankind is fear, and the oldest and strongest kind of fear is fear of the unknown.
H.P. Lovecraft.
Yeah.
That was, what, 1927? He really, he nailed it with that one.
It's an absolute classic of a quote. And for, like, a century, that was the golden rule.
Mm.
You know, whether you're reading a book, watching a Hitchcock film, or playing those early video games, horror was all about what you couldn't see.
Exactly. It was the theater of the mind. Creators understood that if they just showed you the rubber monster under bright lights,
yeah,
it would look, well, ridiculous.
Right.
But if they hid it, your own imagination fills in the blanks, and your imagination is always, always going to be scarier than anything some artist can build.
I always go back to the original Silent Hill on the PlayStation 1 back in 99. I was terrified of that fog. It felt so oppressive.
Oh, yeah.
But looking back at the tech docs, that fog wasn't exactly a grand artistic vision, was it?
No, not at all. It was a total technical crutch. The PlayStation 1 simply didn't have the horsepower to draw buildings that far away.
It would have just melted.
It would have ground to a halt. So the developers just said, okay, let's just cover everything past 10 feet in this thick gray soup.
And in the process, they accidentally created one of the most iconic atmospheres in gaming history.
The happy accident of limitation.
Yeah.
But, and this is really the whole point of our deep dive today, that era is over.
It's dead.
We are not in the business of hiding the monster anymore.
Right.
The sources we're looking at today make that very, very clear.
Right. And that's our mission today. We're exploring what we're calling the architecture of dread. We're looking at how modern tech, specifically Unreal Engine 5, has completely flipped that script.
The graphical fidelity has just gotten so high, your imagination doesn't have to do the heavy lifting anymore.
We can just show you the nightmare.
And we are entering this era where the simulation is becoming, well, it's becoming indistinguishable from reality.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just suspending disbelief anymore.
No, it feels like we're being forced to accept what we see as real.
Which is a terrifying thought.
It is. So the big question we're trying to answer today is this. What happens to the human psyche when a digital nightmare becomes visually indistinguishable from waking life? I mean, are our brains even equipped for that?
The short answer is probably no. But to really understand why we have to look under the hood, we have to talk about light.
Okay, let's unpack that. The sources make a huge deal about a system called Lumen. Sounds like a, I don't know, a sci-fi villain or something.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
But what it does is fundamentally change how light behaves in a virtual world. And to get it, you have to understand how games used to work. Before Lumen, lighting was baked.
Baked. Like a cake.
Sort of. More like a painting. Imagine a stage play, right? Yeah. An artist literally paints a shadow on the floor where a chair is standing. It looks great.
Sure.
But if an actor moves that chair,
the shadow is still there, painted on the floor.
Exactly. It breaks the illusion immediately. The world doesn't care that you're there. It's static.
So Lumen fixes that.
Lumen is a dynamic global illumination system. That means it calculates how millions of individual rays of light bounce off every surface in real time.
It's simulating the actual physics of photons.
That's it.
Okay, but playing devil's advocate here, why does bouncing light make a game scary? It sounds like it just makes it look pretty.
You have to look at it from an evolutionary standpoint.
Yeah.
Our ancestors, the ones who survived, they didn't survive by being afraid of the dark.
Okay.
They survived by fearing movement within the dark.
I see. It's not the cave that's scary. It's the thing shifting in the back of the cave.
Precisely. And Lumen taps right into that primal trigger.
Sure.
Because it makes the environment reactive. There's a great example in the reading. I want you to picture this.
Okay.
You're in a pitch black hallway. You've got a flashlight. You shine it at the floor, and there's a bright red rug.
Got it. Dark hall, flashlight, red rug.
In an old game, you just see a bright circle on that rug. The rest is black. But with Lumen, the light hits the red rug, it picks up that red color, and it bounces onto the white walls around you.
Oh, so the whole hallway would glow red.
The whole corridor suddenly bathed in this suffocating, bloody red glow. And here's the kicker. As you move your flashlight, that glow shifts and warps on the walls in real time.
That is actually deeply unsettling. It makes the room feel alive, like it's breathing.
It feels thick, right? But where it gets really paranoid is the shadows. We're now seeing realistic soft versus hard shadows.
Explain that one. I usually just turn shadow settings down so my computer runs faster.
Well, don't do that in a horror game now.
Yeah.
See, in the real world, a shadow tells your brain about distance.
How so?
If a monster is far away down a long corridor, its shadow shouldn't be sharp. It should be long, soft, diffused. Yeah. Fuzzy, it sort of dances on the wall.
And as it gets closer to you,
The shadow sharpens. It gets hard, defined, black. Your brain is constantly doing the math. Soft is far, hard is close.
So when a system like Lumen does this accurately,
it just triggers paranoia. You see a soft, blurry shape move in your peripheral vision. Was that a shadow? A glitch? Or is something really there? You're not scared of the monster you see. You're scared of the shadow you thought you saw.
That genuinely gave me goosebumps. It's like it's gaslighting you with physics.
The sources also mentioned something about a flood of darkness.
Yeah, that's a terrifying technical achievement. In old games, dark was just a black texture. It was flat.
Right.
In UE5, when you shoot out a light bulb, the engine simulates the actual absence of photons. The darkness literally floods into the room like water filling a tank.
It feels heavier.
It feels like you've gone physically blind. It's a claustrophobic response because the visual data is just gone.
Okay, so we have light that hunts us. But what about the world itself?
Yeah.
Because if the lighting is perfect, but everything looks like cardboard, the illusion shatters.
That brings us to the other pillar of UE5, nanite.
Virtualized geometry.
Yeah.
This is the tech that lets movie studios just drop their assets directly into a game, right? Correct. It basically removes the polygon limit. In the old days, you know, a round object like an apple was really just a blocky octagon if you looked close enough.
I remember the square grapes in Tomb Raider. Good times.
We are so far past square grapes. Nanite allows for billions of polygons. But in horror, they aren't using this to make beautiful fruit bowls. They're using it for something called objection.
Objection. That's a fancy psychological term for just grossing people out, isn't it?
Pretty much, yeah. It's that feeling of repulsion caused by decay, rot, things that make us recoil to avoid getting sick. And nanite weaponizes this through insane detail.
Give me a concrete example.
Okay, take rust. In a normal game, a rusty pipe is just a gray cylinder with a brown picture wrapped around it, flat.
Sure.
With nanite, that rust is geometric. It flakes off. You can see the layers of corrosion, the sharp little edges of the oxidized metal.
Ugh, so it looks crunchy.
It looks diseased. And when you apply this to body horror, it gets incredibly visceral. If a character has a wound, it's not a red sticker on their skin. You can see the depth, the separation of skin, fat, and muscle.
Okay, that is vivid. And disgusting.
It triggers a gut reaction. Your brain screams infection. But it's not just gore. It's also visual noise.
Like clutter.
Exactly. Picture a hoarder's house. In older games, the trash on the floor was just a flat texture. Nanite allows every single shard of glass, every dead cockroach, to be its own unique 3D model.
So it's not just a mess. It's a pile of distinct individual things.
Right. And your brain, trying to process all that unique detail, gets exhausted. It creates this subconscious feeling of being overwhelmed. You can feel the filth piling up.
It's so interesting. We usually think of better graphics as more beauty, but here the tech is being used to make things look perfectly, uniquely repulsive.
Immersion through disgust. It's very effective.
So we have the light, we have the texture. Let's talk about the space itself. I've been seeing this trend everywhere online. The back rooms.
Ah, yes. Liminal spaces.
Right, these transitional places, hallways, empty offices, places that just feel wrong when they're empty. Why is modern horror so obsessed with these boring spaces?
Well, it pairs perfectly with procedural generation. The sources talk about the horror of the loop. Developers are creating these infinite non-Euclidean spaces.
Non-Euclidean, geometry that doesn't make sense, right? Like a hallway that's bigger on the inside?
Exactly. Rooms that shouldn't physically fit together. You walk down a hall, take three lefts, and somehow you're back where you started, but the room's a little different.
That sounds like a nightmare I've actually had.
That's the goal. The horror here isn't a monster. The horror is the architecture itself. And that realistic lumen lighting makes it all feel like a trapped memory. Sterile, fluorescent, and inescapable.
And the fog. We talked about Silent Hill's old fog, but the new tech has completely changed it. It's not just a hiding mechanism anymore, is it?
Not at all. In the Silent Hill 2 remake, for instance, the developers call the fog a character.
A character.
It's a 3D volumetric material. It has physics.
Uh-huh.
When the protagonist walks through it, the fog actually swirls around his legs. It uses fluid simulation.
Wow. So you leave awake in the fog.
You do. And the lighting interaction is key. A neon sign scatters its light through the moisture in the air. It creates this sick, hazy glow that blinds you even more.
It sounds incredibly atmospheric, but also frustrating.
It's tactical. This intelligent fog forces you to rely on audio cues. It's sensory deprivation. You don't just see it. You feel the dampness.
Speaking of feeling things, I want to pivot to what I think is the most controversial part of our research, the body cam trend.
Yes, games like Unrecord. This is where things get murky.
These games genuinely disturb me. They don't look like games. They look like leaked police footage.
Yeah.
It feels wrong to play them.
And that is exactly why they are so effective. They're hacking your brain by simulating the imperfections of reality.
What do you mean by imperfections?
Well, games usually try to be perfect. A steady camera, a clear image. These games do the opposite. They use a fisheye distortion to mimic a wide-angle lens.
Right, like a GoPro or a police vest cam.
Then there's auto exposure shock.
Is that when the screen goes completely white for a second?
Yes. You run from a dark room into a bright yard, and the screen just blows out while the virtual camera adjusts. Just like a real sensor would.
It adds this layer of panic. You lose your vision right when you need it most.
It does. And then you have the independent movement. The hands holding the gun move separately from the head, from the camera. It feels disorienting, frantic.
But why does it feel so illicit? The source material compares it to a snuff film.
That's the hack. Our brains associate that specific visual language, the shaky cam, the bad exposure, with real-world violence. We see it in news footage from war zones.
So when we play it,
it bypasses the brains. It's just a game filter. It feels real because it looks like the documentation of reality, not a simulation of it.
That is deeply unsettling. But it's not just the cameras getting realistic. It's the faces, too. We have to talk about metahumans.
This is where we cross the uncanny valley and just set up camp on the other side. The sources point to Hideo Kojima's Project OD. He's using this tech to create photorealistic digital actors.
I saw that teaser. It was Sophia Lillis, the actress from it, and she was just screaming.
Right, and it wasn't a mass-like video game screen. You could see the subsurface scattering.
Okay, hold on. Break that down for me. Subsurface scattering.
It's how light passes through translucent materials. Like if you put a flashlight behind your ear glows red, right?
Same.
Old games couldn't do that. Skin looked like plastic. But here, you see the light passing through the thin skin of her ears. You see micro tremors in her eyelids, her pupils dilating in real time.
And what does that do to the person playing?
It triggers our mirror neurons.
The empathy thing, right.
Exactly. We're social animals. When we see someone else in terror, our brains light up in the same areas. We biologically mirror their emotion to understand it.
So if I see a cartoon character get scared, I might laugh. But if I see a photorealistic human face in absolute biological terror,
you feel their panic, biologically. Kojima is essentially weaponizing empathy. He's not scaring you with a monster. He's scaring you with the face of fear itself.
That is heavy. And we've been talking visual horror, but we can't ignore the audio.
The other half of the experience.
And the sources say UE5 is doing something called ray traced audio.
Yes, Project Acoustics. It's fascinating. We just talked about ray tracing for light. Bouncing light beams. This does the exact same thing for sound waves.
So sound actually bounces off walls.
It does. And it has material awareness.
Meaning the game knows what the wall is made of.
Yes. If a monster is walking on the floor above you, the sound is different if it's coming through wood versus concrete. Through wood, it's creaky and sharp. Through concrete, it's muffled and heavy.
That's incredibly precise.
It creates presence. But the scariest part is diffraction. Sound waves literally bend around corners.
Wait, really?
Think about it. In real life, if someone screams around a corner, the sound wraps around the opening. UE5 simulates that.
So you can tell exactly where it's coming from.
With terrifying accuracy.
Yeah.
Even with your eyes closed, you can hear the breathing, the footsteps. You are never safe just because you can't see the threat.
And speaking of the threat, it's no good if the world is brilliant, but the monster is dumb as a box of rocks.
And that's the final piece of the puzzle. Adaptive AI. We're moving toward enemies that use machine learning.
Like a predator that actually learns how you play the game.
Exactly. The source uses a hypothetical alien. Isolation 2 is an example.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, you could memorize a pattern. You know, the alien walks left, then right, then stops.
Right. You just learn the loop. It becomes a puzzle, not a threat.
But with machine learning, the AI watches you. Do you always hide in lockers when you get scared?
I mean, yeah. It's cozy in there.
Well, after the third time you do that, the AI figures it out. It stops patrolling the hallway and starts ripping locker doors off their hinges.
Oh, no. That is just rude.
Do you use your flashlight too much? It'll start tracking the light cone. Do you sprint everywhere? It learns to listen for your footsteps.
So you can't memorize the pattern because you are the pattern.
Precisely. The game changes based on your fear response. the monster evolves with you.
That is, well, it's impressive, but it's also terrifying. It really feels like we've hit a tipping point.
I think the inspector's verdict in our sources sums it up perfectly. We are in the golden age of horror. All these technologies have given creators the tools to build their nightmares without compromise.
But there's an ethical question here, isn't there? We kind of touched on it with the body cam stuff.
There is. When shooting a zombie looks identical to shooting a human, and the screams sound like they're in your living room, is there a psychological cost to this entertainment?
Are we desensitizing ourselves, or are we just traumatizing ourselves for fun?
It's a valid concern. The line is blurring, but there is the counterargument that these are survival simulators.
A safe place to test your nerve.
Exactly.
Right.
It lets us face primal fears, darkness, pursuit, violence, without any actual danger. It's an adrenaline test in a controlled space.
And I guess that's why we play them. There's no rush quite like surviving a nightmare and then turning the console off, and you're just safe on your couch.
Absolutely. The relief is the reward.
So before we wrap up, I want to leave everyone listening with the adrenaline test from our notes. I want you to really think about which of these technologies actually scares you the most.
Is it the lumen lighting? Those moving shadows in your peripheral vision that make you doubt your own eyes?
Or is it that body cam stuff? That illicit hyper-realism that feels like you're watching a crime scene unfold?
Or maybe it's the metahumans. That uncanny biological fear in a character's eyes that triggers your own empathy and forces you to feel their pain?
It's something to mull over, or, you know, maybe just something to distract you while you're trying to fall asleep tonight.
Indeed, if you can sleep.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. And hey, maybe sleep with the lights on tonight.
You know I will.
Catch you next time.